This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
McDonald's abuse of student guest workers prompts protests at their Times Square store.
Latin American and Asian student guest workers participating in the U.S. State Department's J-1 program expected decent work and a meaningful cultural exchange here. Instead, they were sent to work at McDonald's, who paid them below minimum wage, and when they complained of the exploitation, were subject to retaliation. They went on strike against the central Pennsylvania stores where they worked. Then they came to New York's Times Square McDonald's with supporters from United New York and the Retail Action Project to protest and announce their plans to take their protests directly to McDonald's headquarters and the home of CEO Don Thompson if McDonald's doesn't take responsibility for ending labor abuses for all its workers. Now with a report from Times Square is Ken Nash.
McDonald's, can't you see?
McDonald's, can't you see?
What justice means to me?
What justice means to me?
McDonald's, can't you see?
McDonald's, can't you see?
What justice means to me?
What justice means to me?
McDonald's!
McDonald's!
Stop abusing your employees!
Stop abusing your employees!
American and guest workers!
American and guest workers!
We fight together!
We fight together!
Our struggle is the same!
Our struggle is the same!
We demand dignity!
We demand dignity!
We demand respect!
We demand respect!
For all workers!
For all workers!
McDonald's must pay!
McDonald's must pay!
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Now!
If we don't get it!
Shut him down!
If we don't get it!
Shut him down!
If we don't get it!
Shut him down!
If we don't get
it! Shut him down!
If we don't get
it! Shut him down!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
I'm with Alicia Marie, who's one of the guest workers at McDonald's who was exploited, and she's being assisted by
Sarah Heidemann.
Okay, thank you so much. And Alicia, tell us your story of the exploitation of yourself and other guest workers working in McDonald's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm Alicia from Paraguay. I'm come here for Culture Exchange, J-1 visa program. And we come to work in McDonald's, and we don't have any experience. The culture exchange, we work 15 hours per day with one break in the morning, 30 minutes. The other guys living in a basement, and we pay $3,000 to come here. Our sponsor is GeoVision. We ask for help, and they never respond.
So were there times also when you work much less than 15 hours a day, when you hardly make the rent?
Yeah. The other guys, in the case, the other guys, too, they don't have hours for work. They need to wait for call, and they need to pay the rent, as they don't have hours to work.
And how far was the place where you live from where you work, and how did you get there?
It's 1.4 miles. Yeah.
In Alicia's case, they relied on managers to drive them to and from work, and that was their only form of transportation, was just from the managers. But for the other guys, they had to walk along the highway.
And how long did you work under these conditions?
3 months.
And you came here expecting what?
Culture exchange. Meet people and make a trip and meet the other students and to know about America.
Now you know about America.
Yeah. That's what we see. But we don't pay to be exploited in McDonald's and just work.
So how did you decide to do something about it, and what did you do?
Oh, we investigate a different case, another people, another students.
The group of students that were exploited at Hershey.
Hershey, and we find the NGA to help us, and they and going with us to support. And now we are in a strike, and
we're on strike and work.
Yeah, we're striking work, and we need justice. McDonald's need to meet with us because they say that we need they care for the workers, but they don't come with us and they don't ask what is the real happen for the students and the workers.
Thanks so much, and welcome to the USA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm with Sarah David Heidemann.
I'm an organizer with the National Guest Workers Alliance.
So here we are in Times Square in front of McDonald's, and I know you're farming out around the country. Flesh us out a little bit more about the... Is this a unique situation? I know that something similar to this happened in Hershey's. Tell us a little bit more about the conditions of guest workers and where we go from here.
Yeah, so unfortunately this is not a unique situation for guest workers. Workers who come here on a visa that ties them to one specific employer are likely to be exploited in the way that we've seen here, in the way that we saw in 2011 at the Hershey plant, which was another campaign that was run by the National Guest Worker Alliance, with about 400 students that were working in a factory in Hershey, Pennsylvania, packing chocolate bars into boxes. This is also a moment for a national conversation around these issues. Immigration reform is in the news, it's in the halls of Congress, and what they're talking about is guest workers, workers who are coming here from other countries for seasonal employment on specific visas that tie them to specific employers and lay the groundwork for them to be exploited.
So what you're saying is that it's not a unique situation with regard to at least the student campaign and other guest workers. And where do we go from here with the McDonald's workers?
Well, these folks want to keep fighting. They want to talk directly to the CEO of McDonald's, John Thompson, and we've requested that he meet with us directly by March 25th, and if he doesn't reach out to us, if he doesn't agree to meet, then we are going to go to Chicago and bring the message to him.
Do you have any indication that there are other student guest workers at McDonald's throughout the country besides the area that we're talking about here?
There were three McDonald's in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. We do believe that there are other J-1 guest workers working at other McDonald's locations around the country, and that's one of our requests too. Our demands is that not just McDonald's, but that the locations of J-1 workers, student workers nationwide, be made public. We think that should be public knowledge.
Thank you so much. And I'm talking with Sarah Heidemann from the National Guest Workers Alliance.
Justice! When do we want it? Now!
When do we want it?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
When do we want it?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
When do we want it?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
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 Make some noise!
Woo!
Mic check!
Mic check!
We are J-1 students.
We are J-1 students.
And members.
And members.
Of the National Guest Worker Alliance.
Of the National Guest Worker Alliance.
We came to the USA.
We came to the USA.
For a cultural exchange.
For a cultural exchange.
And to work at McDonald's.
And to work at McDonald's.
Instead, we were exploited.
Instead, we were exploited.
We paid $2,000.
We paid $2,000.
To live in a basement.
To live in a basement.
We were not paid overtime.
We are not paid overtime.
When we asked for better conditions, to Andy Chung, to GeoVisions, to McDonald's, we were ignored. We will not be silent. Our voices will be heard. We demand to meet. With John Thompson.
With John Thompson.
McDonald's CEO.
McDonald's CEO.
And if he doesn't
doesn't come to us,
and if he doesn't come to us,
by March 26th,
by March 26th,
we will go to Chicago.
We will go to Chicago.
McDonald's must pay.
McDonald's must pay.
Stop abusing your workers. American and guest workers. We fight together. Our struggle is the same.
We demand dignity.
We demand respect.
For all workers.
McDonald's must pay.
I'm with Rodrigo Janez,
yes,
from Chile, one of the guest workers, and tell us your story.
We came to the United States through the Year One program, work and travel, to get a cultural exchange, so I can meet the new people and learn about the American culture. They promised many things, but we came here, it's really different. We paid $3,000 to come here. Basically, I got destroyed. They promised 40 hours per week, and actually we got less than 20. If you want more hours, I had to stay on call to get more hours. And if you pay, had more than 40 hours, they don't pay overtime. They also tell us they provide transportation, which actually is not true. We had to walk to McDonald's through the highway because there are no sidewalks.
What was it like where they put you to live?
It's a basement. We live six persons together in a room with no privacy. Yeah, in Bumpets. One room for six people. No doors at all.
And were you losing money from the deal? Did you spend more money to get here than you were earning?
Yes, I paid $3,000 to come here. I didn't get my money back.
Many people endure exploitation and don't protest. What convinced you and the other people in your group to go on strike and to protest and to go around the country to demand this meeting with McDonald's CEO?
Because they have to stop. We were, our bosses told us they can deport us in any time, just making a phone call. If we complain or tell somebody about this, we also know a student before us went through this too. So we decided this has to stop because we have a brother and sister and friends that want to come the next year, and we don't want to they leave this.
Well, thank you so much, Rodrigo Janez from Chile.
What do we want? When do we want it?
Now!
If we don't get it,
shut them down!
And I'm speaking with Stephen Boykevich from the Guest Worker Alliance. Stephen, how did this treatment of these student workers point out the need for immigration reform?
We're talking about how millions and millions of immigrants for many years to come will be entering the United States. Congress is considering having the center of future flow be massive expansion of guest worker programs. What happened to these student guest workers at McDonald's, the latest case of abuse of guest worker programs by the latest iconic American corporation? We've seen it at Hershey's before. We've seen it on the Walmart supply chain. What it shows is how guest workers are uniquely vulnerable to abuse. So if there aren't fundamental changes to the way workers are protected through guest worker programs, a massive expansion within immigration reform could potentially create a permanent underclass of millions of workers who are uniquely vulnerable to exploitation, the way that these student guest workers were and the way that hundreds of thousands of other guest workers have been.
And without citizenship rights, no right to protect themselves from the ballot box.
Yes, one of the fundamental vulnerabilities that guest workers have is they're, number one, usually trapped by debt, because as these students paid $3,000 to $4,000 apiece to take part in this program, which they then later found out they had virtually no opportunity to even earn back, let alone come away with some kind of take-home pay. In all guest worker programs, guest workers usually arrive with similar mountains of debt that they have no way to pay back in their home countries. They're trapped by debt on one side, and threats of firing and deportation on the other side. When guest workers try to blow the whistle on abuse, almost universally, employers then threaten guest workers with firing and deportation back to their home countries, where they face enormous amounts of debt they have no way to pay back in their local economies. That's the essence of the trap. That's the reason some people describe guest worker programs as a form of modern-day indentured servitude. And that's a situation that we can under no circumstances allow to continue in any future guest worker program through immigration reform.
So is the answer to abolish guest worker programs or to reform them?
We're probably going to see guest worker programs in one form or another as part of immigration reform or even independently of it. For now, the fundamental thing that we have to fight for and that we are fighting for, it's part of this fight around McDonald's as well as the other work we're doing, is that guest workers, number one, have visa portability. That means their legal status doesn't depend on one employer. If they face abuse at one employer, they will be able to pursue a labor dispute and have the authorization to work at another employer while they're pursuing their labor dispute without losing their legal status. Number two, we need fundamental reforms to truly protect U.S. workers from being unfairly displaced by employers that are using guest worker programs not to fill temporary needs, not to fill seasonal needs, but to get the cheapest, most exploitable workers and lock out U.S. workers of jobs that they might want to do. Right now, employers go through a certification process to say that they have a genuine need for guest workers. They can't find U.S. workers to do the job. We see again and again and again that that's not true. We're places that have 10% unemployment locally, employers still rig the system to make it look like they can't hire U.S. workers. We need to protect U.S. workers as well as guest workers in any future guest worker reforms.
But isn't there a real contradiction with overly relying on guest workers, even within those parameters, in that you're relying on a group of workers who don't have voting rights, who are not citizens, who really have no power within the country?
What would be an important start would be to have basic civil and labor rights protected within those programs. Certainly, anything short of full citizenship is going to leave workers vulnerable relative to workers who do have full citizenship. So there's a built-in tier system there. But the first step, unquestionably, is that guest workers, whether or not they're on a path to full citizenship, need to have strong, unshakable protections so that when employers do abuse them, they can blow the whistle, they can stand up, they can organize, they can make alliances with U.S. workers without the fear of retaliatory deportation. In the immigration proposals or principles that have come out from the major parties so far, we saw very strong workers' rights, workers' protections principles in the White House immigration reform principles. We saw the Senate principles being not bad, but not quite as explicit on worker protections as they need to be. What we didn't see in either of those proposals was any clear talk about future flow, whether it's through guest worker programs or some other kind of temporary worker program that has a path to citizenship. It has been a political hot potato. Cases of abuse, like this McDonald's case, come out more and more frequently. Our organizations expose dozens of them. More and more people are paying attention to them around the country. More and more politicians can't escape them. But at the same time, businesses desperately want a flow of the cheapest, most exploitable labor possible. Whatever proposal comes out of those talks, and however it's integrated into a comprehensive reform bill or not, the fundamental cornerstone has to be protection of workers' right to organize, workers' right to expose abuse without fear of retaliation.
Chen, tell us a little bit more about the Guest Workers Alliance.
The National Guest Worker Alliance is a membership-based organization of guest workers that's national but based in New Orleans, founded after Katrina when huge numbers of guest workers began to be brought into the United States, particularly for Gulf Coast reconstruction, and often found themselves in cases of severe exploitation, captive labor, and forced labor. We fight for terms of just migration, for dignity in the conditions of work and migration for immigrant workers, as well as for a strong U.S. labor and progressive movement, because the dignity of all workers is our fundamental value.
And how can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with us at guestworkeralliance, one word, .org for information about the McDonald's campaign, our other work, our work around immigration reform and future guest worker programs, and they can sign up for regular updates there too.
And thank you so much. I'm talking to Stephen Boykovich from the Guest Worker Alliance.
My pleasure, Ken. Always great to talk to you.
Cueste lo que cueste.
Tenor de azul.
Tenor de azul.
Celeste oeste.
Celeste oeste. fuerte.
Ganaremos esta lucha.
Ganaremos esta lucha.
Cueste lo que cueste.
Cueste lo que cueste.
The people united will never be defeated.
The people united will never be defeated.
The workers united
will never be defeated.
The people
united will never be defeated.
The workers united
will never be defeated.
The people united
will never be defeated.
The workers
united will never be defeated.
The people
united will never be defeated.
Make some noise!
Thank you very much for coming and supporting our struggle, because this struggle is your struggle. This is all workers' struggle. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ken Nash reporting from Times Square on the protest by student guest workers of their conditions at McDonald's stores.
And I'm with Jorge Rios, and we're updating the New York Times Square demonstration report. Jorge, I understand that you were the one who originally contacted the Guest Worker Alliance. Why don't we start with why you did that and why you thought that was so important?
I contacted the NGA because I got to know that they have helped students from other countries who were participating also in this same program under the J-1 visa, working at Hershey Chocolate Factory. And they were being abused and exploited as well. So by means of news articles that I came across on the internet, I found out that the NGA helped them organize to go on strike. And since we were not being helped from our employer, our sponsor, GeoVisions, or we also contacted our embassies, and they didn't want to get involved, and the State Department was slow to respond to our request for help, and we were going through such difficult times and living under such horrible conditions, I decided to send a letter to the NGA letting them know about the conditions we were living under. They immediately got in contact with us, started doing interviews to see if our conditions were actually possible violations of labor and living condition regulations.
So at about the same time as the New York Times Square demonstration, McDonald's Corporation took some action against the owners of the franchise in Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly. Minutes after the Times Square demonstration, we learned that the McDonald's Corporation announced that Andy Chung had agreed to leave the McDonald's franchise system. He had six McDonald's in the Harrisburg area, three of them with J-1 students. After the first time we demonstrated in Camp Hill at one of the McDonald's we worked at, we learned that days after that, he was also asked to resign as a secretary of the Ronald McDonald charity. So we consider that those actions from the McDonald's Corporation are an acknowledgement that there were serious violations in this case on us as employers of McDonald's.
But you, of course, continue to demonstrate because there are other things that you want. You went to Philadelphia and also Washington, D.C.
That was a positive thing on McDonald's part, but also we want to make sure that they also are responsible for making sure that this won't happen again and that this is not already happening in other McDonald's stores. So we are asking, we're demanding a meeting with McDonald's CEO, Don Thompson, because we want to bring our demands to him, and we want to know more about their worker protection policies, and we want him to sign an agreement with us to guarantee that no other J-1 student will be abused in this way in any of the McDonald's restaurants, and also to guarantee that all McDonald's employers have their rights guaranteed as workers, such as the right not to be retaliated against if they complain about their employer's treatment as regards payment and working conditions in general, and also their right to get together and form unions if they consider that a necessity.
And have you had any response at all from the McDonald's Corporation?
Yes, a person from Pennsylvania contacted us and left a telephone number, and we have been calling him, but he was busy on several occasions when we called him, so we are still waiting for him to schedule a telephone conversation with us.
And where are you right now?
We are right now in Washington, D.C. We have been invited by several organizations who are working on the immigration reform, who are demanding that there's this Power Act, which is a project to pass a bill that would guarantee that deportation cannot be a tool for employers to threaten and retaliate against immigrant workers. So we have been telling our stories of everything that has happened to us for them to get informed, for legislators' aides to get informed about what's actually going on, and that it's real people and real stories that are suffering right now for these types of abuses. Employers who threaten them with deportation if they complain, employers who are abusing their immigrant workers and who threaten them with deportation. So we have been meeting with a legislator's aide, and they have committed to having us as sources of information on our experience.
And what's the next step?
We're traveling to Chicago to go on demanding for this personal interview with Don Thompson, McDonald's CEO, because we want to discuss our demands as exploited McDonald's workers. We want him to sign an agreement that all McDonald's employees have their labor rights guaranteed by the McDonald's Corporation. If he refuses to meet with us, we will go on demanding for that meeting.
And if he refuses, will you be demonstrating in front of the McDonald's Corporation itself?
Yes, we will. And also, if it's necessary, in front of his house.
Well, thank you very much, Jorge Rios from Argentina, one of
thank
the
you.
Demonstrating against McDonald's, and keep up the good work.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.